station.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, it's a holiday week. We have holiday-themed Cincos all week, and I'm here to give you the five holiday traditions that need to retool. A rebuild.
Rebuild.
Is need.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
It's the NBA on Christmas Day. Like it or not, the NFL is going to continue to be pigs. They have now taken over this day.
Yeah.
And who even cares to look at the NBA schedule on Christmas Day anymore, unless your local team's playing?
You're kind of right. They've killed it. The NFL just slaughtered it.
Right.
Yeah. It's sad because it's been a tradition.
I almost honestly forget about it.
You know, the Knicks play.
I don't even remember.
The Knicks play on Christmas Day.
They
play Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. I think that's the noon game.
It's the noon game. But shouldn't the NBA stand their ground?
That one's going to be heavily attended.
Well, it's always attended.
Attended, yeah. But the NFL's playing at 1 and 4:30, so they have a game at 8 and 10:30. Here's my deal. NBA Cup, Christmas night.
I mean, you said that. I don't know if you brought that to air. But
yeah, Evan hated it. But,
how do you think that works? Like, people didn't care about it last night. And Christmas is supposed to be a day of NBA.
At least it's something.
At least you're marketing. This is what we're doing on Christmas Day.
Instead
the NBA
of saying
Cup.
It's just a regular season game,
right?
It means nothing because it's one of 82,
right?
And there's football on, so you might as well just watch.
I honestly thought you were going to say just give up on Christmas and move off of it and say, all right, NFL, you took it. We got to think of something else.
You could do that too. The NBA and Christmas Eve.
No, that doesn't work.
Well, either way,
I don't think people are going to watch sports on Christmas Eve. I don't think that's a thing.
Probably not.
You're watching Christmas movies. You're watching the Yule log.
And you're betting on the Hawaii Bowl. You know.
Is that on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, we got USF playing.
Really?
The Poinsettia Bowl.
I'm going to take San Jose State laying the points.
Jeez,
and the NFL's played on Christmas Eve before. They'll play on any night of the week. So I think the NBA should just stand their ground. It's their day. Don't back down.
It's not their day.
But you got to make it more important. Yeah. Right? Otherwise, it's just... Yeah.
Just the idea now. Christmas used to be... We're getting five NBA games and two NFL games.
And it's not only that the NFL took over, they got a Beyonce concert. They are just destroying the NBA on Christmas. I love the NBA. I'm an NBA guy, but I got to call it like it is. The NFL wiped the floor with them.
That's it.
Number four.
The number four retooling of holiday traditions is Christmas ornament storage technology. One breaks every year when you break it back out. How have we not figured out how to properly store these things? I'm wrapping them in newspaper. Nobody's invented something.
Do you have the box?
What's the box?
There's the box that has the partition, so every ornament has its own little thing.
Okay, I've seen that, but doesn't that just work for the balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not everything's in the shape of balls.
Okay, what do you need in shape of?
I got one that's like a canoe from Lake George. Like, how's that fitting in there?
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, that one doesn't work.
My sister recommended this really cool bag. And the bag has got cushions everywhere, and it fits ornaments, and it's worked for 5 years. I have not broken a ornament, knock on wood.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Ugly sweaters. Mm. They're an homage to the past, right, when everybody wore an ugly sweater, and they weren't called ugly then, they were just sweaters. Then 10 years ago, it became really cool to have ugly sweater parties. Haven't we jumped the gun, though? Is anybody still laughing at these things?
No.
Not laughing, but it's just the truth. I'm going to wear one Friday now. Mm. You just inspired me.
It's stupid.
It's a Brooklyn Nets ugly sweater.
I have one that's inappropriate now. I don't want to get...
Why is it inappropriate?
Because it's... Do you know Golden Girls?
Yeah.
You know Blanche on Golden
Girls? Yeah, she was, you know...
Yeah.
Well, what do you say on Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
What does Santa say?
Ho, ho, ho.
There you go.
Well, wait a minute now.
Well,
she was popular in Boca Raton, but that doesn't mean
that's a sweater.
That's right.
All right.
I can't wear it anymore.
Number two.
The number two holiday tradition that needs a retooling, it's actually Christmas dinner. Thanksgiving's got turkey. 4th of July's got a hot dog. You pull five people celebrating Christmas, they got five different dinners. We haven't honed in on a food for Christmas
Day. What about the fish thing?
We're going Italian. Not the fishes, though.
Right.
Isn't the fish thing a thing?
On Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Christmas dinner. You get the Christmas goose, the Christmas ham, there's a pork loin. You could go Italian. You go. How come? It's so weird.
Right.
We have all these food traditions. Christmas Day doesn't happen.
Right, now that I'm thinking what Tracy told me, we're going ham, but then Italian.
I bet you're going ham.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, last but not least.
Number one.
I've thought long and hard about this. And without a doubt, the number one holiday tradition that needs a retooling is New Year's Eve's time. We agree.
New Year's Eve's time?
Oh. Think about this.
What do you mean time?
Notoriously, the day we are all tired the most is New Year's Day because we've stayed up till whenever watching the ball drop.
Oh.
We have no problem every 4 years adding an extra day to the calendar. Why can't, for one day a year, we make the day end at 9 p.m.? New Year's Eve, 9 p.m. that ball drops.
What?
Then the following day, New Year's Day, has 3 extra hours. This way we're not up late. You can, your parties end whenever. You have some extra time. I am so tired of New Year's Eve being at midnight and feeling like I need to party till that late or stay up that late, or you're missing something. Let's agree, the calendar, the sun, the moon, be damned, and let's be logical.
I got to tell you, that's a well thought out one. But
no,
it's
not.
It's just not executable.
It is executable. If we put our brains to it.
All you've got to do is make January 2nd a federal holiday. Mm. That's it.
Now we need 2 days off to recover?
Yes, to
How
recover.
How big of pigs do we need to be?
Well,
I'm asking for 3 hours to shift.
You can't shift three
Sure
hours.
You can. Why? Why? Why?
Because of the moon and the sun, bro.
F the moon and the sun. I'm telling you, forget it. Block it out. You're going to be back on the normal schedule on the 2nd. 3 extra hours. We do daylight savings and all that screwed up stuff.
That soon to not be.
Yeah, okay, but January 1st, that's it.
By the way, speaking of daylight savings.
9 p.m. becomes midnight.
Soon to not be.
No. So Sean and I had a great discussion at Barclays Center the other night.
About daylight savings?
Yeah, so I did some studies because the president-elect tweeted out, hey, let's get rid of daylight savings.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people were arguing, no, we should get rid of the other one, okay? Whatever that's called, standard time?
Standard daylight time, okay, or whatever.
I started doing the research. We have to switch the clocks. If we don't, we screw something up big time.
What do you mean?
Okay. I'll get you into the weeds on this one. If we switch the clock the other way, it's not going to get light out till 8:30 in the morning. We can't do that to our kids at the bus stop.
What if we just don't switch the clock?
Then it gets bright way too early during the summer. And it gets dark way too early. Like, the sun will rise at 4:30, which is way too early, and we lose the extra hour in the summer. And if you trade that off, our kids are staring at a bus stop, and it's pitch black outside.
It's been a week and a half in Iceland. The sun never went down.
Dude, well, that's Iceland.
This is the flaw with everyone's argument.
People live in Iceland, and they deal with it.
Tiki, kids do after-school activities, basketball, wrestling, all of that. They take buses home at darkness all the time. So at some point, kids are in the dark.
Yes.
Who cares if it's dark at 8:30 in the morning?
The kids are in the
Mental
dark?
Health is a crisis. People need daylight out later.
You're wrong.
You're too worried about the kids in the morning.
First of all, you're getting the same amount of brightness. It's just a lot of differently. You understand that, right?
No. But how many people...
We're not changing the sun, Sean.
In the winter, how many people wake up, get dressed, go to work, their drive or commute to work is the only time they see sunlight in the winter. Now picture being able to get home and at least get in a half hour. That will change your mental attitude.
That's not more important than 9-year-olds being at a bus stop in the pitch black.
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
They just have seasonal affective disorder. That's what Sean's talking
about. That's what Sean's talking
about. But only people that have that have to worry about it. And you can supplement that by having ultraviolet light. Just go in your pineal gland in your eye and you'll be okay.
See? Tiki, explain that.
Your pineal gland? No, what does that have to do
pineal.
With this? What?
Pineal.
You mean to tell me we have a pineal gland and a penile gland?
All right, thank you, Sean. So good at 5:00 every day, 5 o'clock. Now let's get to what we've been waiting all day for. We are about to unveil number 10 and number 9 in 24. This is the countdown by this select committee here at WFAN where we get to hear the most memorable sports moments of this year. All right, we've had a lot of moments so far. We're up to 10 and number 9. Would you guys like a little recheck on what we've heard so far?
Let's.
Yes.
All right, let me pull it up because I've been writing it down on this little document I have. All right, number 24, Karl Anthony Towns acquired by the Knicks. Mm. Number 23, the New York Liberty win the WNBA title. Number 22, Jorge Lopez declares the Mets the worst team ever. Number 21, the Yankees beat the Astros dramatically on opening day, the Juan Soto show. Number 20, the Knicks lose game 7 at home against Indiana. Number 19, the Rangers season comes crashing to its conclusion against the Florida Panthers. Number 18, Chris Kreider is amazing as he leads the Rangers past Carolina. Number 17, the Rangers win the Stadium Series. Number 16, Jake Diekman shockingly strikes at Aaron Judge to win the Subway Series. Number 15, John Sterling retires and then returns. Number 14, Daniel Jones is benched and then cut. And number 13, Mikal Bridges shockingly becomes a Knick during the Subway Series. Number 12, Dante DiVincenzo helps the Knicks pull off a miracle in Game 2 against the Sixers. And number 11, Josh Hart beats Philadelphia and the Knicks advance.
Money.
Ladies and gentlemen, number 10.
Number 10. As the Jets prepare for a big game for first place against the Bills, the Jets shockingly fire head coach Robert Saleh.
Whoa, what's going up? Davante Adams Jets.
You got a Jets news coming up right now. It's not that.
What?
Robert Saleh has been fired.
What? Are you serious?
Adam Schefter just put it out now.
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. First of all, that is stunning.
I got goosebumps, man.
Wow. Now, that is the right move. I was wrong.
Well, first of all, Sal Siggy's got goosebumps is my favorite part.
Right.
Goosebumps?
It wasn't the right move.
That was your favorite part?
Oh, BT saying it was the right move?
No, Hoff saying we got a Jets news. That was my favorite part.
Wrong syllable.
Well, that was the breaking news that you could hear right here on WFN. We're always on top of breaking news, whether it's in middays with BT and Sal or in the mornings or with us or late at night. And that was how it sounded right here on WFAN. And it was shocking.
Yeah.
Like, that was a stunner. Like, no one saw that coming at that point in the season. But yes, BT turned out to be very wrong. It was not the right move. And I remember coming on that day being very mixed about it because I don't think Robert Saleh was a good head coach, but I didn't think that this move would work.
Yeah. It was pointless to fire him at that juncture because the team was still playing for him.
Yeah.
And then once you fired him, it just created confusion about responsibilities, really, from the coaching standpoint. And it got worse. A lot worse.
So there you go, number 10. That's certainly a memorable moment, certainly not a good one. What is number 9?
Number 9. Tiki Barber speaks for all of Giant Nation when he utters the now famous words to departing Saquon Barkley. You're dead to us.
Saquon Barkley now has a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a 3-year deal worth almost $38 million, so eclipses $12 million per year, basically what he wanted from the Giants last year. By the way, the Giants he now faces twice a year, a big-time shift in the NFC East. Saquon Barkley, who now adds to an Eagles running back room. Look, the Eagles have rarely, or maybe never since the era of Chip Kelly, paid for a running back. Now they are paying. It is a lot. They believe it is worth it. One of the top running backs in the NFL.
You're dead to me.
I got to go. Thank you. I just got a phone call.
From?
I can't tell you who. We actually are about to hear from the man himself.
Get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Saquon Barkley.
I'm so honored to be on this prestigious list of memorable moments in NY sports. Thank you to the committee, and of course, thank you to Tiki for telling the world that I was dead to him. And to you, Sean, this one's for you, man. You want to know why I left the Giants and joined the Eagles? Simple. It's because of you, your constant talking, your lack of respect for my game, and the way you always acted like I wasn't the backbone of that team. Yeah, that's the reason I had to pack up and find a real squad. You kept pushing me, acting like you didn't know you didn't need me to carry that offense. But, you know, look where it got you now. I'm down the turnpike, and Philly's got the crown. Don't worry, though. I'll be sure to remind you every time we take the field how it feels to lose your best player. I'm coming for that defense, and for you, Sean, hope you're ready, you fat bitch. Again, thanks to the committee and WFAN for this great honor, you fat bitch.
Wow. Saquon Barkley, ladies and gentlemen.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's uncalled for. It's the
you fat bitch.
Saquon just called me a fat bitch?
I think that's what Saquon called you, yes. Well, I'm very honored that Saquon Barkley would give us time amazing. To come on the air.
That's amazing.
Yes, so that's the number 9 moment. And I've been handed a note that's it for football. So it was all negative.
Really? That's it for football?
That's it for football.
What else happened?
Think about it. So Saquon Barkley.
There's nothing else memorable. No, we already got Daniel Jones gone, right?
You're right.
Yes. Saleh fired.
And there's nothing really with Rodgers. Like, I was thinking about it. What from Rodgers would be memorable?
The fifth play of the season.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because he made it. Lasted.
Yeah, but you're stretching. Like, here's the weird part about the
Legitimately,
Jets.
Legitimately, nothing.
Nothing! There's nothing!
Joe Douglas got fired.
Yeah.
So it didn't make the cut, I guess.
Didn't that feel inevitable?
Not as shocking as Saleh. Right. Clearly, that's why it was.
And it was also, it was just done. Like, I think the Saleh one was the big one. You could make that argument. It should be up there.
Well,
but,
I mean,
there's nothing else.
Honestly, Joe Douglas was probably fired the day that
Robert Saleh got fired.
I agree with you.
Because Joe Douglas was not involved in that conversation to fire his head coach. Right? So you kind of knew the writing was on the wall.
I will quibble this with the committee. I think Saquon leaving should be higher.
I agree.
Like, I think it could potentially be number one or number two or number three. I think it could be a top four moment.
Oh. Yeah, it was inevitable.
Yeah,
it's you fat bitch.
I honestly do. I kind of agree with Sean. I think it's like when you really think about it, they couldn't re-sign him. They weren't going to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it. When he rejected the offer the year before, we knew that they weren't going to re-sign him. So it was just shocking that he went to Philly.
I think, and that's a part. I think there's layers to it. It's not stunning that he left. I think most Giant fans are on board with it.
Right.
I think when you factor in it's the Eagles, he's been incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
John Mara is on tape saying, I won't be able to sleep at night if the guy ends up in Philadelphia. So I think that moment is become even more memorable because of its impact. And then, by the way, that adds to it, too.
Of course. And Saquon responding to that.
Saquon being bothered by it. I think he was way too sensitive. Tiki was having fun, and it's sports, and that's how we feel. Not in real-world terms, but in, hey, as a sports fan, you're dead to us.
And Saquon was asked about it by a reporter for the dopey bit they're doing down in Philly.
Yeah, no, it's been an everlasting thing, so I think that added to it. I think the Philadelphia, because you're right, he was inevitably leaving. The Philadelphia aspect, the success with the Eagles, Mara being annoyed, your comments, him responding to it. Yeah, I think it should have been higher than number eight.
Should be probably number two. I think there was something a little more shocking down the line late in the year, but that should be number two.
In your opinion, this would be number two?
This would be number two.
And you're a Giant fan saying that.
Because I think that, and you alluded to it, the layers of it, and this story is not finished. We don't know what's going to ultimately end up happening with Saquon's tenure in Philadelphia.
Right. He could win the MVP. Probably not. It's going to be one of the quarterbacks. But they could also win a Super Bowl.
That's the one. I think the MVP is an individual award, and the spin doctor next to me will spin it. The Super Bowl, you can't spin. If they win the Super Bowl,
and he rushes for 150 and has two touchdowns.
They beat the Chiefs or something like that.
What do you say Monday at 2:10 when we're like, hey, Sean, what's up, man? What do you say?
I say nothing. I have COVID.
You would no-show the show?
Oh. That is the one moment of my career. You want to punishment sports fandom? Yeah. I ain't showing up if the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Come on.
I cannot address the masses that day. That will permanently take me off social media for 2 weeks. That's going to be a problem.
You would no-show a radio show?
I wouldn't have the courage.
Tiki.
I have the courage to tell you I wouldn't have the courage.
Tiki. Well, this is fireable, to be honest.
Fat bitch.
Yeah.
Thank you, fake one.
No, we're not a Philadelphia radio show. We don't have to talk about the Super Bowl.
I mean, we talk about the Super Bowl.
Well, then I don't need to be here.
You can't skip the podium.
The Super Bowl is the one non-New York sports event that we're going to talk about.
And Saquon Barkley would have won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, so it is a New York event.
Yeah. Yes.
My wife just called me. We're in Aruba right after the Super Bowl. So
embarrassing.
This is pathetic.
Yeah, that's real bad.
I mean, I guess I give you credit for admitting it right now, but
Are you kidding me?
It's inexcusable.
Face the masses after the hole I've dug myself? Are you crazy?
Yeah, but you came on the radio after Juan Soto signed with the Mets, and you dug in very deep that he would never sign with the Mets. You were on the radio.
I agree.
You took your medicine.
Evan, this would pain me worse than that.
This would be your most painful moment as a sports fan?
Yeah. This could drive me to lose a little love for sports. A little pee. I'll never fully lose it. A little piece of the love for sports in general. Saquon smiling, holding a Lombardi first year with the Eagles.
Spoiler alert, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
I've
been paying attention to the NFL over the last couple of years.
I apologize for what I'm about to say, Tiki, because this may make you look at me differently. So I'm apologizing ahead of time.
Go ahead.
I think I kind of want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
No. And by the way, Saquon's right. I am a fat bitch. So, why would I do that? Why would
Saquon.
I mean, I think, yes, Saquon Barkley. We do not want to get sued here.
Saquon Barkley. Sean.
You fat bitch.
Yeah.
Saquon. Who's Saquon?
The guy we just heard from. Barkley.
Do we have to spell it out?
Yeah, he's the guy on first.
We'll get back to your calls next. 888-808-1019. Tomorrow, right around this time. Now we get to the nitty gritty. We're going to reveal four each day. Tomorrow and then Friday. And then we're going to find out the most memorable moment in 2024 in New York sports. So you'll get four tomorrow and then four on Friday. More of your calls, baseball, football. How are y'all doing, Evan and Tiki, on this Wednesday? Anybody watch the NBA Cup last night? Or
not really. I forgot it was on.
You forgot it was on?
What?
The NBA Cup was last night?
Did you watch it?
You forgot it was on.
He's not listening.
The Rangers and Predators were on.
They lost 2-0.
As was West Virginia.
Yes. So you did not watch it?
What channel? TNT?
It was on ABC. They gave it the ABC treatment.
Oh, boy.
I admit. So I got home. Kids go to sleep. Ate dinner. Hanging out with my wife. She's now into her own show. It's 8:50. And I said, I'm putting the cup on. Like, I was intrigued enough to put it on. And I watched probably the entire first half, a little bit of the third quarter. You know when I started tuning out when the Bucks ran it? They ended up opening up, I think it was like a 17-point lead.
And ran away with it.
And they ran away with it. And at that point, I checked out. But I actually enjoyed it, not because of the NBA Cup, but because the Thunder are so ultra-talented. And even as a guy that loves the NBA, I haven't watched a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it was like, let me check these guys out.
Right.
And listen, Jalen Williams is fantastic. Anyhow, what's up?
The Bucks won?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's another, you know, checked box to say the Knicks can't handle the playoffs. Doc Rivers has now proven he can win the big games.
I thought the troll that Sean was going to go with here, maybe didn't see the story, is that the NBA supplied the Bucks with champagne in the locker room.
Did they?
And really? Milwaukee said, no, we're not gonna pop the champagne. So which is good on them. The NBA wanted them to celebrate like it was a thing, and the Bucks said, we're not doing that.
They are good for them.
So yeah. I thought Sean would have said, well, you know, the Knicks and their fans want to pop the champagne.
Do they have a game today?
No.
I think they've cleared the schedules, right? Pretty much.
You know, I think there's like a handful of games today.
They play the Cavs on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, they could have popped champagne. They
I think it's more that they don't want to do that for something like the NBA.
No. You know what they did? They each took a bottle home and or a hotel or wherever the heck they're staying. And they consume the champagne off of camera.
Yeah, in a non-celebratory way.
That's exactly embarrassing for Adam Silver, though.
It well, is.
Especially if it was obvious it was there.
Yeah. Right.
I think the NBA...
Was it obvious? I mean, I didn't see it.
No, I didn't know about that story. Right. I mean, was that just an after-the-fact story? Because I assume the broadcast just covered them winning and then moved on to the post-game show. The brief post-game. By the way, there are no NBA games tonight, so you're right. Nothing tonight. But they're trying. Like, I just don't want to defend Adam Silver on this. He's trying.
I did see
that. Doesn't mean you love it or I love it. I'm not telling you it's the greatest thing in the world. I watched it very casually. But I appreciate a league that tries. And here's the part where I got to defend it against the critics. Why does it bother you?
What?
The NBA Cup. It does nothing to bother you. The games are regular season games.
Right. Cool. So except it's just
a okay, this one's different. Right. I agree. But every game that was played is just a regular season game on a shiny court. Like, who cares?
It's just insignificant to me. It doesn't
That's
bother
fine.
Me. It's just like, oh, I forgot that was on last
That's, night. And that is totally good. But crapping on it to me doesn't make sense.
No.
If you like basketball and you're watching your team anyway the way a lot of us do, it doesn't take away from the game. So what's the difference?
Because it treats the fan like they're stupid.
Not really.
I don't like that.
You don't have to be stupid.
What do you mean?
Don't serve me you-know-what and tell me it's chicken. We are smart enough as American sports fans to know what matters and what doesn't matter. Don't trick me into thinking something matters when the players know it doesn't matter and it's stupid.
Yeah, but Sean, here's why I disagree with you.
It actually turns me away from watching the game.
But I think you're wrong. Like, as a season ticket holder, I want to give you an example of this. And maybe this is a small example, but I believe this. So in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, Jets do it too. Basically, every sport does it. They have dynamic pricing. Mm. So for example, opening day for the Mets, my ticket's like $300. 2 days later against the Marlins, it's $40. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Dynamic pricing.
Yes.
The NBA, tons of dynamic pricing. Knicks opponents, some are higher, some are lower. Same thing with the Nets. They treated the tournament game price-wise as if it was a regular NBA game.
Yeah.
So they're not convincing me of anything. They're allowing me to get into it if I so choose, but they're also making it non-offensive if you don't want to be into it. We went to a tournament game, or actually you and I didn't. I went to a tournament game a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a regular game.
Evan.
If you didn't care about the tournament, it's a regular game.
Other than the court, you can't tell that it's not a regular season game.
So why are you offended
about it? There's not pomp and circumstance. The PA announcer's not saying anything differently.
Well, they are.
Did they?
They're trying to pump you up. Yeah.
Are they? What are they saying?
It's a tournament game. Get on your feet.
Yeah, Evan.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's weak.
But it doesn't offend me.
Of course.
You have the choice. Like, they gave out towels at the net game. I didn't wave it. Okay.
Evan.
Thank you.
You know as good as anybody. Sometimes life's about making road trips, all this other stuff. The fact that they have to leave two games blank on a schedule that get filled later on.
You're offended by that?
It's ridiculous. Second, you know what else I'm offended by?
You're not offended by that. That's fake offense. You're not offended by that.
You're not.
Okay. Mm. Things that are BS.
Are you offended by that?
I'll tell you what I was offended by.
Are you offended that the Nets had a game added against Cleveland you happily went to with me? That offended you?
Well, I would say, you know, regretfully after.
Well, it was a blowout. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I'll give you a
perfect example. The Nets still in the league.
And this was noticeable for me. Saturday, I'm a big college football guy. Saturday is only the Army-Navy game, right? Mm-hmm. So Saturday night, I'm flipping around. I got, all right, what NBA games can I get into? You know, maybe bet on a little bit. And you're serving me two games in Vegas with dead crowds, and I have no option of anything else because you clear out the whole schedule. I am offended by that.
Oh, come on.
Because you've created something that doesn't exist, and on a night where I'd actually be thirsting to go around the dial and watch some basketball because college football's cleared out, I get nothing but the two forced matchups in Vegas with no crowd. So I am offended by that.
Because you're a degenerate gambler, you needed a basketball game to bet on at 10 o'clock at night, and there wasn't one there for you, so you're offended.
All right, so then don't form partnerships with gambling then, and then tell me this.
Would you agree that that's fake offense by Sean Morris?
That is fake offense.
Yeah, it's fake offense.
Or he has a lawn and he wants us to get off it. Yeah. I mean, you sound like an old man right now screaming in the clouds. Young kids are into it. We would be into it if we were younger. I'm into it now and I'm 40.
I'll tell you,
it's like
find
the home
something
run
on Netflix and chill.
Yeah, don't watch it. Like last night,
I watched Carry On.
The biggest criticism of last night, which Tiki pointed out.
Is it good, by the way?
Got to get through the first 20 minutes and it gets good.
What is it?
Carry On. It's a Christmas movie about on a plane.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, it is a Christmas movie.
That's the point.
Is this like Die Hard or something?
Yes, it's the entire thing's a hat tip to Die Hard. Yes.
All right. Anyhow, the NBA Cup doesn't have to be offensive. People get offended because they look for things to be offended by. It was an innocuous thing. I wasn't particularly into it this year, but that doesn't mean I'm going to fake scream about it and say I was offended because I wasn't.
Okay, so tonight and last night, how many basketball games did you have the option to watch?
Well, that part's disappointing. But you know what? It's actually good to actually have a night where I don't watch bad basketball. Maybe that's why I enjoyed watching the Thunder last night. It was cool to see good basketball for about an hour. I was like, damn. Oh, that's how you play basketball? Wow. I didn't know that. Let's go to Chris in Rochester. How are you, Chris?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Good. So, first thing, you were talking about the relationships earlier. This is going to show my age, but back in the early 70s, on the Yankees, Fritz Peterson, I don't know who the other guy was, but they swapped wives.
I know. That's a crazy story. Yeah.
And
they swapped everything, wives, children, the whole thing. It was crazy.
And one worked out, and the other one didn't.
Right, that's right. One of them is still married. I think Fritz Peterson died like a year ago, but yeah, I think the whole thing worked out, which is crazy for one of them.
Yeah. And the other thing is with Juan Soto, like he's a great hitter. He's exactly the kind of hitter I wanted on the Yankees, but not for that money. I don't feel like Hal would have spent any money and the team just wouldn't have been that good. You know, they have too many holes.
The only reason I disagree with that is that they've already spent in terms of this season the same amount of money and they're still willing to spend.
It's just multiple people.
Right. Yeah.
So it feels different.
It feels it, but if you look at the money allotted for this season, it's very similar to the 1 year that Juan would have been paid
this year.
And it's
not your money. Now, maybe they're raising ticket prices, and that makes it a little bit less palatable for fans, but it's not your money.
The real question that is interesting is that the Yankee payroll right now in this moment is 286. It's third in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers
they don't have a full roster yet. Correct?
I agree. No. Of course. Where does that end? It's at 286. Hal has said he doesn't really want to go over 300. I think clearly it is going over 300 based on the spots they need to fill. But how much higher is it going? And this is the part that should excite Met fans. My Met fans out there. Currently, as of right now, the LA Dodgers are number one. They're 334. Okay? You know what team is number two in payroll commitments right now in this moment? I'll just tell you guys. You don't want to guess. Philadelphia Phillies at 287. The Yankees are at 286. The Mets are down at 252. The Mets' payroll is significantly lower right now than it was last year. So assuming they're going to spend some of it, if not all of it, and I don't think they're going to spend all of the money that came off the books.
Yeah, but
the Mets have a lot of room to spend.
Yeah, but the tax threshold is what, 240?
No, the Cohen tax is, I think, 295.
Got it.
And that's
I know the Cohen tax, but I'm just saying the luxury tax is 241.
Yeah, you know what? I don't pay attention to those thresholds because the Mets and the Yankees blow by them. Yeah, so they don't mean anything to me.
Yeah, but I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it now. Major League Baseball team tax tracker. currently the Yankees have 12 guys on the roster.
No,
they got a long way to go.
The payroll's going to go up a lot higher.
It's going to get to 300.
Now, they have more than 12. They have a lot of arbitration eligible guys. So
yeah,
so
it's not including those guys.
Yeah, it's projecting what their salaries are. But right now the Yankee payroll's 286, and mm-hmm. I'm fully expecting it's going to be over 300, which is a compliment to that Halas spending. And I have no reason to believe that if they sign Soto, that was just going to be it based on the way they're spending so far. But look, here's the reality, and I know it's going to be tough to do. As much as I say it, you say it, or anyone says it, Juan Soto is now irrelevant to the New York Yankees.
Yes.
They tried to sign him. They got outbid. He's on a different team. They have pivoted, I think, an incredibly strong way with the additions that they've made. And even though we're all going to compare it because it's a Met Yankee thing, he's gone and there's nothing we could do about it. That's what I said about DeGrom that night. Right. I said it cryingly. I was like, he's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. It's kind of the same thing with Juan Soto. He's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. Other than post hateful things on social media. I guess you could still do that. Matt is calling from Belmore. How are you, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to start off Tiki, Evan, Sean, Tommy. Forget Delilah and the Christmas music. You guys are my drive home every night, Monday through Friday. Love the show.
Appreciate that, dude. Thank you. What's up?
Absolutely. So, similar to Sean, when I was a kid, my parents took me to JCPenney in the Husky section. I'm not an expert. But I consider myself well versed in the food connoisseurs of the sports venues in New York State.
Nice.
But my recommendation, where I sit, my buddy's got season tickets. I go to probably 15 Ranger games a year. Where I sit, section 202. I know Evan and Sean have problems finding the great places to eat in MSG sometimes. So 202, right behind that section is Mighty Quinn's Barbecue.
Mighty Quinn's Barbecue.
Okay.
The brisket sandwich there is one of the best barbecue sandwiches I've ever had outside of my trips to Nashville.
Okay.
Wow.
Gotta check it out.
So here's what we're going to do. Thank you. I'm writing that down. We are now unveiling something very new and exciting for Sean Morash, and you have every right to play along with us. This is an interactive game called Eating Morash. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick a venue. Okay, MSG is on the list. They're not the first venue on the list, but they're on the list. And we are going to select a venue, and we are going to take your ideas on the best food at said venue. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick one.
I can tell you, that brisket sandwich kind of sounds
good. Sounds badass. We're going to pick one, and Sean Morash, along with me, Loogie Tiki, whoever wants to go that night, will go to said arena, and we are going to eat that food. All right, we'll give you a full review, and you can do it with us. So, for example, if we go with the Mighty Quinn brisket sandwich, we'll announce it. We'll say this is officially what Eating Morash will be eating, and you can join in if you happen to go to that venue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our opinion, the first venue, we have seven wonderful sporting venues here in our area, seven of them.
Yeah, because they're shared.
We got some shares,
yeah,
including Madison Square Garden and MetLife Stadium. The first venue we need to hit is MetLife Stadium.
Right, because that's expiring soon.
It's expiring! But here's the crazy part about MetLife Stadium, and we are going to need your help on this. Because even though I go to MetLife Stadium, and Tiki works at MetLife Stadium, and Sean goes there a lot, Loogie doesn't go unless someone gives him free tickets, we all tailgate! So I do not know the premier food place to eat at MetLife Stadium. I have no idea. So what I ask our loyal listeners out there is to either tweet at us, at Sean Morash, at Evan Roberts, mm-hmm. WFAN, not Tiki, he doesn't check Twitter, or we'll take a few of your calls at 888-808-1019, and we have to pick the premier food at MetLife Stadium that not only Sean could try, but I think this is great for the listener, because if you're stuck on a Jet or Giant game, and you're bored out of your mind over these last 3 weeks.
Right, you might as well go get something good to eat.
Yes!
I agree with you.
You may as well get something good to eat. Fact! So
my problem is I couldn't recommend anything there because I've been there a ton.
Right.
I'm always in the suite because I'm calling the game.
Look at you.
It's not even. Yeah. It's just I'm on the suite level.
No, I get you.
So I'm not in the concourse.
And not only that, so you're on the suite level. Sean, do you tailgate every single time? Like, have you ever bought food at MetLife Stadium?
I've bought food very drunk at Kenny Chesney concerts, but never during Giant games.
Do you even remember what you ate at the Kenny Chesney concert?
Yeah, like, that's just simple. I run up, there's chicken fingers and fries. I don't reinvent the wheel because you're in a concert for like 6 hours.
Right. Like, when I went to the Thursday night game.
It's just to offset the alcohol that you're putting in your system. 1,000%. Listening to whatever music you're listening to.
1,000%.
So it makes me wonder, like, does MetLife Stadium even have anything that's good?
It definitely does, because I've noticed when I walk in that main concourse, there's like, oh, wow, that looks cool, that looks cool. But then I immediately go upstairs and I forget about it.
Right. Yeah.
Because I've eaten 15 sausage and peppers in the parking lot.
When I went this year, I got the basic food. I got chicken fingers.
Fact.
And by the way, it was fine. Now, I think there's something better at MetLife Stadium, so that's up to you guys to help us out. You can give us a call, 888-808-1019. You could tweet at us, and we will determine, with your help, the food that Sean should eat at MetLife Stadium over the next 3 weeks. Now, there is a slight issue, which we are already addressing, and that is the fact that Sean Morash is refusing to go to MetLife Stadium.
Because the Jet game he was supposed to go to with you. And he's not going.
Well, it wasn't. I wasn't supposed to. I'm not missing a Giant.
You're supposed to go to a Jet game with Evan because he invited you.
I did. I invited him to go to the last Jet game of the season with me and Jet. And that's right. And Sean is saying, no, he needs to watch a meaningless Giants game.
Bro, we have a million venues. Let's just do it in August at a preseason game.
No, we're doing it now. It's the first one we have to do. And if you don't do it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the advice of our listeners. I'm going to pick up the food item we want. And I will bring it in the very next day. And so you'll have to reheat it.
Yeah, we'll bring in an air fryer.
Is that fair? You want to do an air fryer?
Yeah, that way, microwaved, it's going to ruin it. Air fryer, you'll still get the high quality.
Okay. And you know the best part, Tiki?
What's that?
This brand new segment called Eating Morash, it's got a theme song.
Does it? Oh,
well, it does. Hold on.
So, sorry, Luke's got to get ready. But I promise you this about the theme song, because I have been criticized.
Is this AI-created theme song?
No comment.
Is this from the mind of one Evan Roberts' overworked computer at home?
All I'll say is I have been criticized greatly by many of my coworkers, so I decided to take a different tack this time. Ooh. Sean Morash approved the theme song. So this
he
is
ran
not,
it by you, Sean.
I did. I said, Sean gives me crap. Let me see if it's good. And if it's good and Sean approves it, we'll play it. So at exactly 6:08, you will all get to hear that theme song. All right? Very exciting news. But you got to help me out with this MetLife Stadium food thing, because I really don't know what he should eat. Every other venue has things they're known for. Like, that guy just called in about the Garden. He's like, brisket sandwich, Mighty Quinn, you've got to go. MetLife Stadium, which in my opinion is the worst of our local venues, I don't even think it has food it's known for. That's what's so crazy about it.
Yeah. There's nothing that anybody talks about.
Yeah. So we will get the answer and we'll help you guys out, especially if you're heading to a Jet or Giant game in the next few weeks, so you can join Sean in eating said food.